I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. A shortage of interpreters and translators has been a recurring theme in the U.S. military's recent adventures in Iraq and Afghanistan. The problem only got worse when dozens of Arabic translators lost their jobs because of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. None of this is to say that American armed forces are not interested in language training. They are, and they have been for a couple of centuries now. The World's Alex Galifant tells us the story.
The military has a long history of language learning. Here's a film made by the Pentagon in 1978.
These servicemen and women are part of a unique program, an intensive language training program.
Ich kann Deutsch. Vor sechs Monaten fing ich an Deutsch zu lernen. Ich heiße Captain Jim Earle, United States Army.
In fact, the military's interest in languages goes back a couple of centuries. Consider this fact about the military academy at West Point in 1802, the year of its founding.
All the textbooks, pretty much, that were used for science and military were in French.
That's what was available to the academy. But books are pretty useless if you can't read them. Something had to be done. So says Stephen Payne at the Defense Language Institute in Monterey, California.
By 1803, Congress authorized money to hire a native speaker to teach French to the new cadets.
And so the military's journey along the linguistic yellow brick road began. First one language was needed, then another. In the late 1840s, there was the Mexican-American War.
And there was a need after that to add Spanish to the curriculum, which came about in 1854.
Then, not long after, American interests expanded into the Pacific. The military realized it'd be useful to have officers who spoke the languages of the major regional powers, China and especially Japan. So, during the 1920s and early 30s, it sent a handful of officers to the embassy in Tokyo for a three-year course in Japanese. But, says Stephen Payne, by 1941, at that time, war with Japan was looming, it was clear the United States hadn't trained nearly enough people.
They probably had around 60 or 70 officers, most of them either retired or were near retirement or were only suited for desk jobs. They weren't going to be in the field, per se, if a war broke out.
Not the Pentagon's finest bit of planning. Now, the U.S. military did already have some experience with language training. During World War I, it ran an enormous program to make sure that thousands upon thousands of enlisted immigrants could communicate with each other. Nancy Gentile Ford is the author of a book about soldiers of that time, called Americans All.
So while they're getting the regular training, like gas masks and trench digging, they're also being taught English.
But when it came to the military teaching other languages, not so much. In World War II, enlisted troops were usually deployed to Europe just carrying phrasebooks issued by the War Department, and they were encouraged to speak the local language, even for really technical things. Example, and here I'm just going by the phonetic translation in one of the books I've got here, onde se lanzaran us redes anti-submarinas. Now that should be Portuguese for, where have the anti-submarine nets been placed? The World War II phrasebooks are hugely ambitious in their scope, listing hundreds of specific phrases, from information about time and place, to reconnaissance, terrain, and weapons. But not everyone got a phrasebook even. Ronald Freeman was a combat engineer deployed to Germany in 1946, just after the war had ended. He bought himself a dictionary and made do.
You pick up the language very quickly. You learn the expressions that you use, like Wo gehst du, where you're going in German, and I still remember a few of them.
It was only after World War II that the Pentagon really ramped up its language programs, resulting in what eventually became the Defense Language Institute. Stephen Payne goes by the title of command historian there. He says as time went on, the military's language needs started to pile up again.
Chinese came back, and then when the Korean War occurs, we started teaching Korean. In the meantime, we are teaching languages of Eastern Europe.
And of course, most important, the school began teaching Russian. In a promotional movie for the school from the 1960s, an American officer is quizzed on the technicalities of a Russian tank.
The desired response should be one that might win total approval from the most exacting of Russian army instructors.
Describe briefly the medium tank T-34.
Это средний танк.
Now that kind of technical knowledge of a language takes time.
Thank you, very good.
The military needed to know Russian back then. Now it needs different languages. In-depth language learning has always been prioritized based on strategic need. And when you're talking about a language taking 2 years or more to learn, that need is often a best guess.
We actually taught Persian Farsi in the 1980s, and we stopped teaching that right around 1990. And so we had to start that program up from scratch after 9/11.
The world changes in the blink of an eye. And so while the U.S. military will continue to produce language specialists, it's now intent on being linguistically nimble too. And it's using technology to do it. For The World, I'm Alex Galifant.